Welcome to the White House Family Spoken Novels Podcast, Holiday Edition, Episode 51. Today we're reading Part 1 of Chapter 3 of the book, Giving Thanks for Thanksgiving's Past. No matter how wonderful your Thanksgiving tradition has been, it will come to an end. You just don't know when, but precious memories will make those Thanksgivings past last forever, and new ones can begin. By Daniel White III with his wife Mariko White. Chapter 3. I'm going to marry her. David Esposito was determined to get to know Celestina Leeks. There was something about her that set her apart from the other girls in his class. "Yes, I'm going to marry her," he told his best friend Andy.
"Are you sure about that?
Man, can't you see she's not interested in you?" Andy said. "That's a game women play, pretend they're not interested in you when all the while they're wishing for you to pay them attention." "Anyway," David said, "I want you to be my mailman. Who knows, with this much training, you may just land your first job at the post office." "I'll help you out," but Celestina keeps her eyes straight ahead. She's going to be a hard one to crack. Her message is, "Stay away, leave me alone, if I am not interested in you." "Nothing ventured, nothing gained," David said. "I'll do the cracking, you do the delivering." He scribbled hundreds of notes to Celestina throughout the school year. "Some boys just don't get the message," Celestina said to her friends. "Roses are red, violets are blue, sugar is sweet, and so are you," Celestina read. "How childish." "But you must admit it sends butterflies through your stomach," Anna said. "All that attention." "Yes, it does, but I had better stay focused on school," Celestina said, "or my parents will punish me." The girls laughed. "My parents told me without batting an eye when I started high school not to even entertain the idea of having a boyfriend," Celestina said. "My sister got pregnant without being married, and Mama told her, 'Don't bring no baby drama up in here.' I mean, she was crying just about every night on the phone because Alston said he was not going to marry her." "Who would want to marry someone named Alston anyway?" Anna said. The girls laughed. "That's why I don't want a boyfriend, 'cause I'm not going to let any man use and misuse me," Sandy said. "You got that right," Celestina said. "Say, why don't we make a pact that we're not going to have sex with any boy or man until he puts a ring on our finger?" Celestina said, sticking her right hand out. "I'm in," Anna said. "You can count me in too," Sandy said. All three interlaced their fingers on the right hand as a show of solidarity. "And we will update each other whenever we correspond. And if, and that's a big if any of us slips and falls, we will immediately tell the other two without fail," Celestina said. The next year and a half went by fast. About 3 months before graduation, Sandy caught up to Celestina in the hallway. "Say, Celestina, have you noticed David's new thing? It's Hillary. I don't know what they see in each other."
"I've seen them together, but I did not think anything of it. I'm just glad he's off my back," Celestina said.
"Girl, I got so tired of those lousy poems and phrases. I hear he's only talking with her to get you jealous, in hopes that you will come running into his arms," Anna said. Celestina laughed. "Fat chance. Get me jealous? He's gonna have to be more original. That's the oldest trick in the book. It's as old as Methuselah," she said. "He's just desperate. See, graduation is just around the corner, and he probably does not have anyone to hang on to his arm. So he's grabbing the first girl who shows him some interest," Anna said. "Poor Hillary. I feel sorry for her," Celestina said. "Do you think we should tell her what we think is going on?" Sandy said.
"Nah, just leave them be. They're 18, adults. They can do what they want," Anna said.
"So whose arm are you going to hang on to for graduation ball?"
"My notebook, pen and pencil," Sandy said. "This graduation is going to be the setting of my first book. Like I told you, I'm seriously thinking of writing a book. I'm just going to sit in a corner and take note of who does what, and who says what. I'm going to look behind every closed door and around every corner to see who's smooching with who, I'm going to visit the parking lot and just observe. Girls, I'm going to have me some fun. This book, this novel is going to be so real, my readers will think it is real. You were always good at English and composition. Your mind works like a tornado when it comes to writing, Celestina said. Jimmy asked if he could escort me, Anna said, but I told him no, I wasn't going to tie myself down to anyone. I told him I'd give him a dance or two, and that's it. David had his mailman deliver me a few letters begging me to go with him. Of course, I ignored them, Celestina said. I think we need to tell Hillary he's just using her so she won't get hurt. I don't think we should say anything, certainly not with how she's been giving you the cold shoulder ever since you started coming to the school, Sandy said. Let's leave well enough alone since she thinks she's all that. Yeah, but I don't like seeing people get hurt, especially when I can help prevent it, Celestina said. Well, don't worry about Hillary. Remember, she's known to hurt other girls by snatching their boyfriends from them, Sandy said. She'll survive. Besides, that's what she'll think she's done to you. Snatch David from you, Anna said. Say, are you going to the dance, Celestina? Nope. I'll be in my bed with a bowl of buttered popcorn and all the toppings. You know, granola cereal, nuts, raisins, chocolate chips, caramel, honey, and I'll be watching whatever movies are on TV. Can't you do that another night? Why would you want to miss your graduation dance? Anna said. Celestina shrugged. It's not a big deal to me. My main concern is getting that diploma and getting out of here, Celestina said. Sounds like you're going to have more fun than we will, Sandy said. I'd love to have a sleepover with you, but I have some investigative work to do if my book is going to be a hit. That's okay. I've already got it planned. My sister and I will be having a girls' night in our living room. It's something we do twice a year. I told her I wanted to do mine on graduation night. When we have the dance, she did hers on her birthday, Celestina said. That sounds like more fun than sitting around watching odd couples pretending to be all taken up with each other and fronting it all night, getting jealous over whose dress is the prettiest or who'll get a certain boy to dance with them, Anna said. But don't you worry, we'll give you the scoop on everyone and everything, especially between David and Hillary. And don't leave anything out, Celestina said. The convocation ceremony was a blessing. The graduation dinner was enriching. The students sat six to a table. David hinted at Anna, Sandy, and Celestina to come sit at his table with Hillary and his best friend Andy. They declined. The teachers had directed the seating and did a wonderful job serving the students. Look at Hillary, sitting there dumbfounded. She looks like a lost child, Sandy whispered to her friends. David was busy talking with Andy, too busy to give Hillary the attention she was always craving. Hillary resigned herself to just sit there, eat her food and listen. Her eyes kept darting over to Celestina's table. I bet she wishes she was sitting with us now, Sandy whispered. I bet she wishes she had never snubbed us over the years. Don't look over here, we won't rescue you. Sandy gave her a fake wave. No, we refuse to rescue you, Anna whispered back. Celestina giggled. Come on, guys, leave her alone. I'm sure she's hurting enough. Hurting? I'd say she's more embarrassed than hurt, Anna said. Have a heart, Celestina said. Have a heart, Sandy said. Celestina, girls who steal other girls' boyfriends do not have a heart themselves. So why should I have a heart towards her? Anyway, are you all still going to the community college? Yes, Anna said. My mama said I'm going straight to college. She's already enrolled me for summer classes. She says I get no break until I have that college degree in hand. Are you for real? Oh man, she don't play, does she? Sandy said. Nope, my mama doesn't play, Anna said. How about you, Celestina? I'm thinking of going away to one of the HBCUs in Mississippi. Remember, they came here to recruit new students? I'll probably be living with my auntie while school is in, but I'll be home for the holidays. I wish you didn't have to go away. I'm going to miss you. Couldn't you at least begin at the community college with us and then transfer to whatever university you choose to go to? Sandy said. That's what I'm going to do. I wanted to sit out a year, you know, get some rest, but my mother said I have to keep the momentum going, so no rest for me. That's what my mother said, Celestina said. I want to go away because I want a change of scenery and pace. My home life is good and all that, but I feel like I want to experience a little more of life. Thank you for joining us for this episode of White House Family Stories. You may purchase a copy of this novel and any other Christian fiction books read on this podcast from Amazon.com. Now, dear listener, please know that God, the divine author of all things, wants to write a great story with your life as well. But first, you must give him the pen by trusting him with the life he gave you and surrendering your heart to Jesus Christ as Savior. Here is how. 1. Accept the fact that you're a sinner and that you have broken God's law. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 7:20, "For there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not." Romans 3:23 reads, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." 2. Accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." 3. Accept the fact that you are on the road to hell. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." The Bible says in Revelation 21:8, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." 4. Accept the fact that you cannot do anything to save yourself. The Bible states in Ephesians 2:8 and 9, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." 5. Accept the fact that God loves you more than you love yourself, and that he wants to save you from hell. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." With these facts in mind, please repent of your sins, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and pray and ask him to come into your heart and save you this very moment. The Bible states in the book of Romans 10:9 and 13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Dear friend, if you are willing to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, please pray with me this simple prayer. Heavenly Father, I realize that I am a sinner, and that I have done some bad things in my life. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of my sins. I now believe with all of my heart that Jesus Christ died for me, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life today. Amen. If you believed in your heart that Jesus Christ died on the cross, was buried, and rose again, allow me to say congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, go to GospelLightSociety.com and read What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." Thank you once again for listening, and may God bless you until next time.